Welcome, change agents. I am so glad that you're here. This is Cheryl Klein, and you're listening to the Fearless Female Leadership Podcast. Today is a very important and exciting day. I feel so honored to be here again with Jane Boulware. But Jane, there's something very exciting that has just happened a couple days ago, and you are doing an exclusive interview. You have squeezed the Fearless Female Leadership Show into your media blitz for your new book, Worthy. I have read it. It was not only life-changing, it was fun. And I read a lot of personal development that I get a lot of benefit from, but I cannot always say that it's fun. And so I'm really excited to have a conversation with you today about this book and how it's just changing lives by the second.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's great to be here. And you didn't squeeze anything in. Everything was squeezed around you because I just love talking with you. And I'm such a big fan and supporter. So pleasure to be here. And yeah, I'm super excited about the launch, truthfully. I have been working on this book for quite a while. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. And I'm excited to share it now with the world and get the stories out there. The response has been fantastic, which is just really heartening. So thank you for having me.
Of course. And so let's, you know, talk a little bit before we get into the gold nuggets of wisdom that are in the book. You know, what inspired you to write the book, first of all? And then also, was there anything that held you back? And did the book maybe almost not get written?
So first question, why did I write the book? First of all, the book is a collection of really short stories. Some are real short, some are even shorter, 50 of them. I was born the fourth kid in a one-bedroom house. There were five of us in 6 years, and we were really poor. My world was like this big. We didn't have the newspaper. We didn't watch TV. It was very small. And so the concept of even a life that I have now, I didn't dream it because I genuinely did not know existed. I just didn't know it existed. And it was through the support and help of people who opened doors for me, who suggest that I do things that enabled me to advance my career to ultimately go from the cornfields of rural Iowa, where I literally worked as a kid before I could write sentences, to the corner office of Microsoft as an executive, one of the top women within Microsoft. And so it's a story of that journey, but truthfully, the book is called Unworthy. It's not called Jane Boulware, How to Get to the Corner Office. It's really as much about the un as it is about the worthy. And the uns that I had to overcome, the limitations, the circumstances, and the external things of poverty and overcoming that. But a lot of it then was overcoming the people and those who said I can't, shouldn't, and wouldn't do things, and overcoming myself, overcoming my own imposter syndrome, overcoming feeling like I wasn't good enough, my fear of taking risks, my fear of being found out. And then ultimately, the third part of the book is that when I was successful, recognizing that my job wasn't over and that success isn't about my achievement, it's about how many people I can raise up into the corner office or ascend. Because if we don't change the way things are and the people in the corner office, it just has to change. Things have to change. And I think I feel responsible as someone that's been on that journey to help others as well. So that I wrote the stories because I wanted to share my experiences. I wanted to share my struggles. I felt in some ways that I was turning myself inside out and sharing the real authentic me. My stories are funny and they're witty sometimes, but they will also probably make you cry, and they're very real and relatable. And I did that because almost all the women that I was mentoring ultimately had imposter syndrome or felt like they weren't good enough or had so many doubts, they thought I had a secret sauce. And I thought, holy cow. No, I haven't a clue. I'm fudging it as I go too. So I wanted to share with people that journey. And then I asked myself, how real do I want to be? I think there's a reason there aren't a lot of books. There's a lot of how-to books that are like, be like me, or this is how you can be like me. But I wanted to encourage, enable, empower people. But at the same time, if you don't feel able, if you don't feel powerful, if you don't feel courage, you yourself are not going to get where you want to go. And so I wanted to talk about my own limitations that I put on myself. And in the process of doing that, I shared some things that were actually really personal. My struggles with bulimia, my struggles with being hurt as a woman and stepping into my own strengths and powers, my struggle being from a hick, a kid in rural Iowa, when I was often surrounded by people of multi-generational wealth, men many times, and I couldn't relate. I literally didn't understand the things they were talking about. It was so far from my experience that I felt like the outsider. And I wanted to write a book where the outsiders felt like insiders.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out something that, you know, in my experience with working with world-class performers, whether they're athletes or amazing women in leadership like yourself, you point out something that's incredibly important that is a trait of a world-class performer. And so you have, everybody has, you know, we're all human. So we have anger, fear, doubt, frustration, some or one or all of these things. But, you know, we proceed anyway. And it's also through these amazing stories that you explain that. But I think it's also safe to say, and, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there were still some of those things when it came to writing this book of what will people think? There was still the fear, doubt, you know, what will people think and all those things. But one such an important trait that it seems like you've exemplified throughout your life and you continue to is that, you know, we proceed anyway. And you just, you understand that there's wisdom in fear.
Yeah. There was a part of me that said, who am I to write a book? Why would anybody want to hear my stories? And I finally came to the place that they're my stories. It's okay. My being strong doesn't make you weak. And in fact, it's our weaknesses that bind us together. And so, yeah, I think that did come out, and that did that was a bit of a challenge that I had to overcome in that. Sure.
And so it's possible that people are watching or thinking, who am I to write a book? Who am I to throw my hat into the arena for a role that maybe my education and experience doesn't quite measure up? Or, you know, maybe someone believes in me and they want me to try something, but they must be crazy because I don't have the background. I don't have experience.
I get a great example. I was 30 years old and given the opportunity to work and manage the 16 countries south of Mexico. I had a 1.5-year-old child. Oh my gosh. I was a 1.5-year-old child. I was a white woman, didn't speak English, 30 years old, from Iowa and Wisconsin. And I'd just seen the ocean for the first time when I was 25 years old, and I'm 30 and they're asking me to manage South America. I was sure that I was unqualified. I said no. And then I thought about it and talked to my husband. I thought, and if I fail, then what? I will have tried. I will have learned. I will have understood why. And I didn't, I tried it. I did it. I did not fail. I was successful because I was surrounded and found the best of other people. And together we did what we couldn't do alone. Over and over in my career, I could not have imagined where I would ascend. But I always say, I wasn't always the first person that a job was offered to, but I was often the last. But I was the last because I often got the jobs nobody else wanted or thought were too risky and they avoided. And I jumped in. I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. So please, if you're listening, do not wait until you are ready for the job. Stretch yourself. Put yourself out there. You will grow into the job as you go. That's something women do that men don't typically do, is wait until they're ready. Wait until they're comfortable. Get out of your comfort zone. If you're telling yourself you have a book to write, write it. If you're telling yourself you have a story to tell, tell it. If you're telling yourself you have a job you want, go for it. Don't wait. Mm-hmm. It's never the perfect time.
And there, like I said, there's multiple gems of wisdom in this book. But for now, please do remember that, because it's not, you know, the way I look at it is you are not just, you know, sharing wisdom. You've walked the talk.
I have. I've been there, done that. And I will tell you that you have to show up, stand up, and lift up yourself before you're able to show up, stand up, and lift up others. And I think that our job with one another, women in roles or whatever, is to lift up others. You can't do that unless you're doing it for yourself first. So that's a lot of what I learned in this book, in that honestly, you're worthy as you are. Mm-hmm. You just are. You can figure this out. You don't need that validation from others. You don't need to be told what you can or cannot do. You just need to go and follow your passion and you'll get there. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a cheerleader. I don't mean to, but I believe so strongly that people limit themselves. And that's why I love your limitless leadership and your fearless leadership. I absolutely think it's critical.
Yeah, thanks so much. And, you know, a lot of times too, you know, first of all, I want to reiterate what you said, and that is you are worthy as you are. For everybody listening, I want that to sink in. Also, you know, it's important to share that we have cultural, social, religious, generational indoctrinations that make that really challenging sometimes. And so that's really why I appreciate and love our friendship and partnership into merging these things together and answering some of the questions on how. Like, I believe you've done it, you know, but how, and understanding that there's a, you know, a process to start to untangle some of these things that mm-hmm. are just hurdles for women. Mm-hmm. And especially women who are further marginalized within our gender.
Yeah.
So your message is so very, very important. And that you are worthy as you are to go pay attention to your gut and your heart. And it sounds like when someone said, hey, Jane, you're 30 years old. I know you don't speak Spanish. And I know you're heading into a machismo culture. And it sounds like a crazy idea. That probably your gut and your heart said, yes, go for it. And you said yes before your head got in the way.
I wanted to tackle that. I was afraid, but I wanted to tackle that. And honestly, when the doors opened and people said, can you do this? Oftentimes I said, yes, I can. And then I figured out how to do it. Mm-hmm. Because there's always somebody out there to help you and to teach you and so on if you're open. And I think that the other thing I would like people to know is, you don't have to have all the answers. Don't even pretend to know everything. Only the ego says that knows everything. And by being vulnerable and acknowledging your strengths, then you can see the strengths of others and you can blend the two. And that's how 1 + 1 = 3. But it's okay not to know, but have the courage to walk through a door that's been opened for you. And if it hasn't been opened, some of those, you got to go in shoulder first. You just do, because you know you can do it. Mm-hmm. I always say no isn't no, it's not yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing. If someone tells you no, go around them, wait, do whatever, find a different way. I was told many times what I could not do. And my mom always said, you never did listen, Jane. Mm-hmm. So there's a way to do that, I think. And much of it begins with that resilience and not letting the no's, not letting failures, that's not you. You are worthy no matter what your job title, what your bank account status is. It's not what you have done, it's what you can and will do. And I believe that if you're watching this show, what you can and will do is limitless. Otherwise, you wouldn't be watching this. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be the person that does this.
100%. And I can't wait till I share the show notes with you, because there's going to be so many quotes and tweetable sound bites that your content team is going to have a heyday. So, and I can't wait to pull them out myself. And so if I were to ask you, you know, for everybody listening, well, obviously they need to get the book, because not only will it reiterate everything that you've said, it will, like I mentioned, be fun and uplifting. And you might be like one of those people who's reaching out to you and saying, I stayed up all night reading it. I couldn't help it. And I don't know, I've read a lot of personal development books, and I've also written one as well. And I can't say that I've ever heard of anyone doing that, nor have I. So, but if you were to think of three things, you know, that you really want everyone to remember, you know, what would those be? One to three things.
Oh my God. The first thing is genuinely, that's why I wrote the book. You're worthy. You're calling it worthy. The undo your uns. If you're feeling unworthy, unable, unpowerful, any of those things, undo your uns, because at the end of the day, they limit you more than other people do. So you are worthy. You do not need to prove it. I am a pig farmer from Iowa. And when I come into a room and I'm working with billionaires and so on, they are no more and no less than me. No more, no less. It's level agnostic. It does not matter your title. You are worthy. That's really important. The other thing that I would say is that success isn't what you achieve, but it's what you achieve together. It's the bits and pieces of us that we don't like to show. It's often our weaknesses, not our strengths, that when you bind it together, that makes something really powerful. That's why I have my great-grandmother's quilt behind me. She quilted this when she had 18 children in between things, and it kept her warm, and it's made from nothing, and it's beautiful, and it's lasted well beyond her, and it's a cherished treasure of mine now. What is it that your gifts and things can pull together? How do you bring the best of people together and create something lasting? What will be that legacy, and what will that look like for you? And then I would say the last thing, I said it before, show up, put yourself out there, show up. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for other people. Stand up and take a stand and say, I am not going to be like you, and that's okay, because this is what I have to offer, and I'm not going to squish myself into something I'm not. That just makes me like a pretzel that's crusty and salty. I'm not doing that. And then lift up others. I got to be one of the most senior executives, and my job was to then reach down and enable other people to lift up. And you can do that through mentoring. You can do that through sponsoring. But my thing is, if you mentor someone, ask them to mentor five other people. You mentor five, ask them to mentor five, because we as women have to scale ourselves. And they may say to you, I don't have time. I can't mentor anybody. You have to get, you have to give. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those are the three things. Sorry, that was probably more than three.
Yeah, it was four. But it was so important. And also, too, if you're listening and you're like, well, I'm just starting in my career, like who am I going to mentor? You know, if you've been in your job more than a day, you know someone who is less experienced than you are. So you're also worthy of mentoring.
Okay, I got two things real quick. The person that I was mentoring is now mentoring me, because I don't know social media and she's doing all that. The other thing is this book cover, a mentee of mine said, I love your book, but I hate the cover, Jane. I don't like it. The next morning at 8 a.m., this is what she had in my inbox. So don't tell me that no matter how much time you have on the job, you have something other people need. Trust me.
Yeah, 100%. So Jane Fuller, thank you so much for sharing about your amazing career, your fun life stories, and putting some of these nuggets of wisdom into your book. If you do not have this book, I highly recommend you can get it on Jane Boulware's website at janeboulware.com. That's scrolling right here. Or you can go to Amazon, and please do leave her a review. This book has the potential to help so many people and have an incredible ripple effect when we have never needed it more in the world. Jane, thank you for putting so much goodness into the world. I look forward to following your and the book's journey, and I look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
Oh, they will. I'm certain of it. So thank you all for tuning in. Thanks, Cheryl, for having me on. It's just so much fun talking to you. Take care, everybody.
If you've enjoyed this episode, follow or subscribe to the Fearless Female Leadership Podcast with Cheryl Klein on whatever podcast platform you use. We'll let you know every time we release a new episode. And if you really enjoyed what you've heard so far, rate and review us too. That's one of the best ways that you can support us and make sure that this podcast keeps going. I also offer a significant library of free mental toughness and high performance videos, worksheets, tips, and other helpful content on my website
at www.cherylkline.com, including a fearless female leadership checklist on how to prepare mentally and tactically for your next crucial conversation. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Cheryl Klein, and I look forward to having you back next time. And remember, you are only limited by what you think is possible. Cheering you on always.